or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, July the 6th, 2004. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chris Simpson of Pasadena, Texas, is the minister. Chris Simpson is from Pasadena, Texas. He's a board member of this place for a few years, and we appreciate him. And you'll appreciate his ministry. Those of you who've never met him, get acquainted, because if you come back, why, you'll meet him again and again. Brother Chris.
Praise God. Well, I want to share something happened earlier today that confirmed that this is apparently a distinct, specific word for someone here tonight. And I'll tell you what happened. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does this. Last night, I was back in the room where I'm staying here. And, you know, when a preacher like me shows up at a conference like this, you always bring a couple of sermons in a manila folder, you know. You never know what the Lord's going to do. So he put a lot of sermons in there, and I thought, this. Well, last night I'm looking through my notes, I thought, ain't one of these, the Lord doesn't want me to preach none of these. And it's about 10 o'clock at night. There wasn't no oil on any of them. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe Jesus will come in the morning, you know, something. So then I came up with a bright idea. So this morning I called my assistant, my church, and I said, you know, there's a sermon I did a few weeks ago at our church, and I kept thinking that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. I couldn't remember the title of it. I said, his name's Bo. Some of y'all know Bo. And I said, Bo, would you please kind of go through all my notes and see if you can find that one on, talk about Peter and all that? And I don't know the title. Well, a little bit later, I said, please fax it over here. So a little bit later, Patty walks up early this morning, hands me the stack of faxes. And Bo had faxed me two sermons. He said, I think one of these might be the one you're talking about. So I looked at the title of this one, and as I'm looking at it and pondering over it, at that very moment, Glenn was praying, and he began to say the words of the title. You were saying, well, the title is How God Turned Sinking Sand into a Rock. And Glenn was saying something about, well, the Lord, you know, turn the sand of our life, make us like rocks. And I'm going, okay. So I discern that this might be appropriate. You know what I mean? I think this is a word from the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the way you work stuff. Praise God. Your timing is perfect. And I do pray tonight this would be a word in due season to him that is weary. Lord, that you would minister to each one of us, myself included, by the anointed word of God, and set the captives free. Lord, open the prison doors of them that are bound. Lord, we invite your spirit to come and anoint the word, and everybody said, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. This particular teaching is somewhat different than maybe has been going on of the conference this week. I haven't been here. I just arrived yesterday. But I was looking at some of the titles of folks. Looks like some really interesting and varied subjects that have been covered. This may be coming from a different direction, and that's okay. I believe it's the Holy Spirit at this point of the conference. It's kind of about two-thirds of the way through. And the teaching is how God turns sinking sand into a rock. Now, we're going to look at Peter in Luke chapter 5. It's a familiar verse to all of us, but bear with me. I'm going to read these verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And Jesus entered one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and he prayed and asked him that he would thrust it out a little from the land. So Jesus sat down in the boat and taught the people out of the ship. When he left speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a deep catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing, but at your word. By the way, I want to throw this in. That word there, word, that word in the Greek is rhema. Y'all know what the word rhema means? living, spoken, not written, but spoken. He says, at your rhema, I will let down the net. And when they'd done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. This was every fisherman's dream, particularly after a night of not catching nothing. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I see Peter, he is hanging onto Jesus' knees, clinging to them, saying, leave me, Lord, leave me. I'm a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the great catch of fishes which had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now tonight I want to look at Peter as a training model for us of how God teaches us to live and walk and operate in the supernatural ministries of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all would like to move in the supernatural ministry of Jesus? How many of y'all are sick of the natural? You want the supernatural. Y'all remember those verses? In my name you shall heal the sick, right? Cast out demons. What else? Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive. How many would you like to experience supernatural power? I don't know about you, but I would like personally in my life and my ministry to actually see some of what the Bible says can happen with New Testament believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. So I want to start with Peter. We're going to run through his life rather quickly and see if we can't see a pattern that's applicable to our lives and how God takes us from being timid, scared, full of ourselves, to finally moving in supernatural power. Let's see if we can see that in Peter's life. First, we see in this passage that he saw Peter was willing. There was a willingness in Peter. All he asked Peter was, can I use your boat and sit in your boat to preach to the people? All he was asking for, you know, in the beginning, the Lord doesn't ask much of us. You know what I mean? Just, I want to be able to sit in the middle of your life, particularly of the thing through which you make your living. See, this was Peter's occupation. This was his job. This was his career. And so the Lord starts out and says, I would like to sit in the middle of your career, in the middle of the very thing you make your living. I've been doing so well lately. I would like to sit in the middle of it. Now, the truth is, if you read these passages, Peter was pretty discouraged in spite of the fact that the Son of God was there. He was washing his nets, you know, fishing all night, bad night, no catch. Tired, frustrated, financially, probably had a lot of financial fears. He's probably worried. And didn't catch any fish. Maybe he spent a few nights, caught fish, you know. End of the month is coming. You know, I'm going to rent my mother-in-law's house. I got to support my mother-in-law. You know, he did have a mother. We know. Jesus just healed her, so I got to keep supporting her, you know. I don't know. I say that because I am now in the position of supporting my mother-in-law. Believe it or not, I've had to get a part-time job, which I now have, to support my mother-in-law. Praise God. She lives in Tennessee, and it was one of those unfortunate things. She's the poorest of the poor on Medicaid, and she just basically survives on checks we send her. And it seems every month the checks need to get bigger. So I told the Lord, well, my church doesn't seem to be getting bigger. So anyway, God does provide, and I do. I personally struggle with financial fears. How many of y'all struggle with financial fears? Come on. Get near the end of the month, there's more month than money. So he's freaking out. He's probably very discouraged, worried about hot fish, you know. It's a bad month. So listen, Jesus began with something he could do. Okay? He said, all I want you to do, Peter, this is real simple to start out, all I want you to do is hold the boat still. Obviously, he said, thrust it out a little from the land. Somebody's got to hold it still, right? So, Peter, I'm going to sit in the boat. I'm going to preach. You just stand there and hold it still. Now, Peter was probably a bit of a glory hog, but he could do that. He could hold the boat still so Jesus could minister to the people from the boat. So that says to me the first thing we learn in this lesson to go from sinking sand to be a rock is we have to let Jesus sit in the middle of everything we do for a living and get still. Did you get that? First thing we knew, we need to let Jesus sit in the middle of everything we do for a living and learn to get still. Us get out of a boat and just hold it steady. to Jesus. See, the problem is, there's so many people are more Marthas than Marys. You know, remember the two sisters? Mary sat at his feet, and she was what? Still, quiet at his feet. Am I right? Martha was frantic in the kitchen, preparing the meal. You know, Master's here. I've got to, you know, slamming pots, you know, slamming cabinets and everything. Kept looking out the room. What's the problem? Mary, doesn't she see? I need some help. Mary's just oblivious, lost in the presence of the Messiah. Martha's in there just determined to please the Messiah. Finally, she comes out and gets all angry and says, Jesus, don't you care? You've left my sister to serve me alone. Now, it's interesting who she indicted. Who did she indict, her sister or Jesus? Hello? How many of y'all believe that resentment in her sister had been boiling for some time? How many believe that one day she thought, you know, next time Jesus comes around, she sits at his feet, I'm going to rebuke her in front of him. And maybe, just maybe, he'll get on my side and she'll start helping out around the house. How many of y'all ever prayed to Jesus to get somebody to help you? How many ever prayed to Jesus to fix somebody? Lord, will you tell my husband that he needs to this and he needs to that? Or my wife? Huh? Come on. How many of y'all are honest up there? You know that's witchcraft prayers? You don't need to be telling God nothing. Can you hear me? Because what did Jesus do? He said, Martha, you're the one. You are full of anxious. Look, Mary's chosen the good part, Martha. You're clueless. I mean, you know, forget the fried chicken. You know, I'm the Son of God. Come and sit for my feet. Mary's chosen the good part. You know, Mary, in the end, got it. She got it. She got a revelation that Martha didn't have. And at the end of it, you know, apparently, best I can tell, it was her that anointed his head with oil for the burial. And where'd she understand that he was going to die? She got a revelation of the Messiah that even the disciples didn't get. Where did she get that revelation? You know where she got it? Sitting at his feet, being still, being quiet. Problem is, there's so many believers today that want to move in the great signs and wonders and casting out demons and healing the sick and all these things, but they miss the centrality of it all, which is intimacy with Jesus. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? It's all about intimacy with Jesus and hearing his voice. You see, you must develop what I call the triple D's to come into inner stillness. The triple D's, daily discipline, devotions. Amen, amen. I can tell you I've been a Charis fanatic for a long time. But I never came into any signs and wonders and significant phenomena of the supernatural, until I learned to get still. Until I learned to develop a closeness with Jesus. Until I learned to hear his voice. And you know, the only way you're ever going to hear his voice is you've got to get still with him. And to spend time with him. Can I remember? My sheep, what? Hear my voice. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people, the psalmist said. And the only way you'll ever learn to hear his voice is you've got to discipline. You've got to have a disciplined quiet time. In my ministry, one of the major things we encourage people. People come in for deliverance all the time. One of the first things I ask them, do you have a quiet time every day? Well, yeah, when I'm jogging. Well, yeah, on the way to work. Yeah, like on the Houston freeways, you're really going to get deep in the spirit. You're going to get in some spirit. So, I mean, I run more people up than I keep them. I hit them with this because most people don't want to do that. They don't want to pay the price for intimacy. It all starts at the feet of Jesus every morning. You can't eat yesterday's manna. Guess what happened if you held yesterday's manna over? It was weird bread. It would spring out with worms and stuff and stink. You had to get up every morning and pick up. His mercies are what? New when? You got to get up early. That's the key, folks. The first thing you got to learn if you're going to move in any kind of power, get out of grammar school, get out of nursery school in the spiritual realm, is you got to learn to get up early and seek the face of Jesus and spend time with Jesus every morning. Now, I could end right there. Can I end, brother? No. I could end right. If you would do that, and you take that home from this camp, your life would change dramatically. Period. I was 30 years old in 1982 when the Lord spoke to me through a series of circumstances to begin having a quiet time. And I had known him, been spirit-filled 11 years prior to that. But I didn't have much success. I didn't have any ministry. I had a lot of gifts. There was no ministry. There was no anointing. I was just full of myself. I love the Lord. I was always at church, but you know, I was just full of myself, and I didn't have a lot of opportunities. Then I started that quiet time. And by the grace of God, I hadn't missed a day. 22 years now, by the grace of the Lord. Spend that time with the Lord every morning. And I tell people, everything that God has allowed me to do springs out of spending time with Him every morning. Now, I've got to admit, some mornings I'm just putting in the time. I mean, it isn't all heavenly gates and angels singing. Well, sometimes it's, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm just nothing else. That's it. I'm here. Okay, it's over. 10 more minutes. Come on. Be real. Of course it is. That's how life is. But I put that time in. Amen. I showed Jesus I'm here. I'm reporting for Jesus. Are y'all getting that? That's the first thing, guys. If you don't get that, the rest of this teaching, forget it. It's not going to work. Got to have that intimacy. And you earn the intimacy by discipline. If Jesus got up early in the morning, Jesus and Mark 1 got up early. If Jesus had to get up early in the morning, do you think we do? Hello? Jesus would have to get up early in the morning. You look at the Old Testament, all the guys would get up early in the morning. When they, all the way from Joshua and Moses and Joseph and David and Abraham. Do the word study. The pattern is there. Okay, then Jesus, out of nowhere, issues a challenge. He's saying, Peter, I want you to step out of the normal, predictable, typical, and expected realm to the supernatural, unexpected, marvelous, and impossible realm. I want you to do something that's seemingly impossible. What's that? I want you to go out in the water and catch a bunch of fish. Now. And Peter, probably in his breath, goes, you've got to be kidding. Been out there all night. Look, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I know water. You don't build houses out there in the middle of Lake Genesaret. We've washed our nets. By the way, it's a difficult thing to wash your nets. Usually they would unfold them and they probably just washed and folded them up. He says, go back out. And I bet Peter was kind of, well, but you see in verse 5, nevertheless, at what? Thy word. At your spoken word. Okay, I'll try this. Can you kind of see that in his attitude here? I'll give it a try. That shows the second principle of going from sinking sand to a rock. You know what it is? Obey the Lord regardless. This is really deep stuff tonight. Pray and obey. We got those two down? You know why the Lord told us to take communion? You know why He said take communion when you gather? To do this in memory of me. He knew our brain has a tendency to forget everything quick. So He says, look, take communion. That'll remind you. I died for you on the cross. Remember? You know, we have to be reminded of these things. Communion, the basics. The basics. You know where the enemy hits us? On the basics. On the foundations. We get all up here and we've got a rotten out foundation. Obey the Lord regardless of situations, circumstances, feelings, opinions, or die. Obey the Lord. That's got to be your heart to obey. You know, there's a lot today about faith movement. Anybody who knows me in my ministry knows, and I make a stand, I have a major problem with the word faith movement. I see it as heretical. Now, you are free to disagree with me. But I see a lot of that word faith teaching today in the charismatic movement as broad-based heresy. And I don't want to go into that now. I have plenty of teachings, and I stand on that from the Scripture for a lot of reasons. But I want to say this. Faith without works is dead. And let me tell you what faith really is. Faith is obedience. It is. You know, you can... Listen, forgive me. I live 8 miles from the largest church in the United States. And for 20 years... It's a word faith church. For 20 years... Not 19. Been ministering to people coming out of those word faith churches. Wounded, demonized, suicidal people. Because of the mental deception of word faith. So I come out of a lot of experience trying to help people disengage themselves what I see as a superficial, formulas approach to the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit are not, you can't put him in a formula. You can't claim a name and blab and blab. You can't. He's like the wind. He's gone. And as soon as you think you got him down, he's over here going, hi. Hello? You can't box him in. And any preacher ministry seems to say, this is it. It ain't it. Because God's going to come over and say, no, this is it. It's like a shell game. You can't figure him out. We live through it. Why? We only see through a glass darkly in this Sodom. We're just stuck. We're clueless, most of us. That's why it takes humility. God resists the proud. And there's so much pride in word faith. But he gives grace to the humility, to the humble, to the needy, the desperate, the lacking of self-sufficiency. The desperate people. And you look at the Gospels. The people that got healed, they weren't running and blaming and standing and claiming. They were desperate and obeying. They were just desperate. And the little woman crawling on their hands and knees, touching the hem of his garment, blind bottom man, screaming at the top of his lung, hard-headed, Phoenician woman with her daughter, just stubborn and kept pressing into Jesus. And every one of them got something from Jesus. Because they were obedient and they pressed him by faith. And faith was action. Faith was doing something. Faith was pressing in. Faith, what I'm talking about tonight is faith. The first thing you can do, you want to build your faith? Get close to Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Speak in tongues. Man, that'll build up your faith. Jude 20 says, building up your faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Y'all know the thing? The Lord spoke to me not long ago. He said, Chris, the only real, legitimate, useful thing that ever comes out of your mouth is when you speak in tongues. Am I right? Once in a while, something got me. But most of us, when you speak in tongues, for sure, because in 1 Corinthians 12, know that when you speak in tongues, you're not cursing me, and you're not cursing yourself. Amen? So if you're confused, I'll tell you what you do. Speak in tongues a lot. Get up in the morning, speak in tongues, sing in tongues, and get it really off in the... Get out of your mind! You're out of your mind! I know, I'm trying to get out of there. We have the mind of Christ. Speaking in tongues, you get out of this thing. So you obey the Spirit's urging. Do you know when you obey the Spirit, things happen? When you learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. I think our whole Christian life is about listening to the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. It's not about proof texting our way through life. It's not about taking Bible verses and figuring out what to do tomorrow. I love the Word. I believe in the Word. Everything you hear has to line up with the Word. But it's all about hearing the voice of the Lord. The rhema, living voice of the Spirit that speaks to us morning by morning. And you know what the Spirit says? He says profound things. He says things like this. Today, you need to go to so-and-so and humble yourself for what you said yesterday. Or the Spirit says, today, this is from God. Today, I want you to go to work and I want you to put back that quarter you took from that little drawer, from your secretary's drawer. That quarter you took and put in your pocket and you said, it won't be missed. That's what the Spirit said. Am I right? I want you to go to your wife and humble yourself with a little prideful remark you made. See, we're expecting these things from God about, you know, the second coming and, you know, phenomena of the supernatural. He says, yes, but let's start with the basics. Leave the gift at the altar. Go first be reconciled with your brother. You know, the Spirit speaks to me more about making it right with people around me than he speaks to me about anything else. Humble myself. Go make it right. Are y'all listening to me today? If you're hearing some voice that's saying, it's okay, they're a jerk, leave them alone. That ain't Jesus. It's okay. They were wrong, you were right. Jesus never comes sidling up beside of me and looking at somebody and saying, you know, no, he always has a way of saying love unconditionally. Do you know what I'm talking about today is how to move into supernatural ministries? This is all what it's about, is learning how to hear the voice of the Spirit. Because in a minute, I'm going to tell you the secret to raising the dead. I have a booklet entitled, How to Raise the Dead. There ain't a lot of books out there. The other way, I went on Google, I typed it in, my booklet was the first thing on Google. Well, not a lot of books on how to raise the dead. Somebody says, have you ever risen the dead? I said, yes, this morning at 5:45. It's back there. I think y'all got it. How to raise the dead. And this is all principles of to do the supernatural. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Come against 7-12 demons and see phenomena, supernatural phenomena, the weather, all kind of cool stuff. Here it all starts right here with the basics. Spending time with Jesus. Making it right. Obeying the Holy Ghost in the basics. loving your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love God with all your heart and want to spend time with Him and then make it your business to love your neighbor as yourself, the rest of this is religious gaga. Are y'all with me tonight? So, what happened? Matthew 14, 22. I'm going to show you that Peter began to take notes. Because he saw something. Wow! When I obeyed His word, I didn't think anything would work. I've been out fishing all night. There wasn't no fish out there. But He said, go catch fish. I said, nevertheless, that's your word. And when I did what the word, the quickened word, whoa! Phenomena! Fish! The dream! I understand. He made notes. When He speaks, do it. Got it. Are you with me? Now, the reason I have a problem with the word faith teaching, because a lot of people, the emphasis a lot of time is not on when He speaks, do it. It's because it's written, do it. Now, stay with me here. I don't believe I can just find some verse, like a buffet. I think I'll take that one. Okay, I want that done now. To me, that's arrogant, haughty pride. I'm sorry. It's dangerous just open the Bible and picking something. You know that old thing. Let's see. Judas hung himself. Go do likewise. Dangerous. Am I right? Look, guys. This is a little Bible. I got to throw around a big Bible. Well, I love the Word. I've read the Word every day for 33 years. I love the Word. But this is not my God. It's my sword. I read it every day. I've been reading it, by the way, as Sister was sharing this morning. I've been reading it through every year since 1988. Read it every year. I read the whole thing through. I have the one-year Bible. I love the Word. But it's not my God because knowledge shall pass away. Tongue shall cease. You know who my God is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Manifest by the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify the Father in heaven. But I run to the Word to line up everything because there's many spirits in the world. Amen? And you check everything by the Word. But I'm telling you, there's a deception in the body of Christ because people have deified the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Sometimes they want to throw up. The Word, the Word, the Word. Where's Jesus? And you get people, you know, the letter, I remember somewhere, the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. And you can know the Word like the Pharisees, and you can chop yourself up and be full of self-righteousness and pride and arrogance and presumption even to God Himself. Knowledge puffs up. I love the Word. And I have an authority to say what I'm saying because everybody that knows me knows I love the Word. I preach the Word. It lines up with the Word. I'm telling you, I've learned to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost that gives life. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to speak to me about a dynamic situation of a divorce, a pending divorce situation in my church. Or this come to me. I'm not going to run to some legalism. I'm not going to run to some formula. I'm going to say, come, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What's the loving thing in this situation? That lines up with the Word. But I'm not going to throw Bible verses at people. I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost. And then confirm it with Scripture. Are you hearing me tonight? Look, this is revolutionary stuff. It is. Makes people mad because the people are not. This word faith thing, I see, is the biggest, broadest heresy that's tied in with, as our sister said, the pre-trib rapture thing. The pre-trib rapture and the word faith, both embraced particularly by Americans. It's the perfect gospel for America. Whoa! Word faith. I get saved. I just claim a name, prosperity. And then I get to float away before the problems happen. Whoa! Where do I sign up? Am I right? I went to Cuba once, which is the Great Tribulation. True. I was there ministering in a Baptist church. And I tell you what, I don't want to go into that. I've gone, but it absolutely ripped me apart inside. See, the horror of poverty in Cuba. You cannot fathom. An 18-year-old girl, I gave her a $1 bottle of shampoo. She'd never had shampoo in her life. Held it to her because she was going to get married. A woman who knelt before me in a pastor's house in San Salvador asking me for another bar of Dial soap, please. She had not had a bar of soap in a year. You cannot fathom we Americans. And, you know, can you believe the arrogance of these prosperity guys going there? Or India. I've been to India. I'm telling you, it's just such an American deception. So when I have opportunities in American forums, I'm going to blast it with the truth. That it's all about the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit loves America. I really believe that. And He's using our country. But I tell you what, always be wary of that which everybody seems to go for. Are you hearing me? You know that's even true in the stock market? When everybody's buying something, you sell. When everybody's selling, you buy. You know what I mean? That's how Warren Buffett made his billions. It says that when everybody's going for something, go, huh, it never seemed to work that way in the Bible. Are you with me? When they have churches of mega tens and 20,000, 100,000, street believers always go, where's the crucifixion? Where's the cast out and despised for my name's sake? I've found that the true gospel is usually found in Bethlehems and a manger. The real truth is usually found across the tracks in some despised, you know, like some guy sitting in the back of a church just beating on his breast going, God have mercy on me, a sinner. That's where the true gospel is. Instead of the front of the church with all the robes saying, oh, Lord, I thank you. Are y'all with me tonight? So he'd been taking notes, Matthew 14:22. What happened? Here we see another scenario with Jesus. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get in the ship. They go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus saw a great need to spend a lot of time in prayer. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they said, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake to them and said, he said, be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered. Now I want you to see this. Peter pulled out his notes. Where is his note? Where it is? Okay. When he speaks, do it, and all things are possible. Okay. Let's go back to reading. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, you bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter came down out of the ship and he walked on the water. Now that's a cool verse. To go to Jesus. Because when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink. They're sinking sand. Sink! Save me! And immediately the Lord grabbed him by the hand and said, oh, you have a little faith. Why are you down? You see, I want you to see something here. Peter understood. He learned earlier that when he speaks the empowered word, if I do what he says, I can do anything. If he says, go out and catch a big bunch of fish in an empty ocean, there's going to be fish. I got it. So that's why he said, Lord, if it's you, you bid me come. You see that? I need to hear the living word. I need to hear the empowered word. I need to hear your voice. Say, come. When I hear your voice say, come, I can walk in the water. Now, this, do you know what I'm sharing you is the key to all supernatural ministry? Raising the dead. Healing the sick. Healing cancers. Leukemia, tumors, diabetes. It's the key to all of it. You need to hear the Spirit. The rhema. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by what? You know what that word is? Romans 10, you know what it is? Rhema. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every what? You know what that word is? Rhema. That means it's the quickened. It's not so much the living, the written word. It's the spoken word from the Spirit to our heart. My sheep hear my voice. I live by hearing the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord yesterday, sitting down there, while our sister was sharing, I think it was you or somebody, and I had a sermon. I'm doing a preaching a mass deliverance series every Friday the last 2 weeks called a mass deliverance series. Last week I preached on the sermon mass deliverance from addictions and compulsions. This week I was going to preach on the sermon mass deliverance from perversion and lust. That was my notes, all ready to go. But I heard the Lord. I was wonderful to hear His voice. And He began to speak this. No, I want you this Friday to preach on mass deliverance from the consequences of stealing. Then all of a sudden I begin to hear these verses. I get my mind, oh, cool. Get excited. When I hear His voice, I get excited. Yeah. It's life. I know there's going to be an anointing Friday night, and there's going to be some thief in the crowd. Probably a bunch of them. In fact, the Lord quickened me, every one of us is a thief. Hello? How many were robbing of time? We're bought with a price. We're not our own. How many of you ever did your own thing? You're a thief. So here's the third thing. You ready? The first thing was, get still. The second thing is obey. You know what the third thing is? Act on empowered words. Did you hear that? Act on empowered words. Now, I'm going to kick over sacred cow, and forgive me. Bear with me. Is that okay if I kick another one, brother? All right. Now, this makes me, some of y'all mad, and if you listen to CD or tape, do not turn it off until the tape's over, please. But I don't believe in going to somebody that's sick saying, well, it is written, by his stripes I'm healed. There, you're healed, brother. I don't believe that. Mm-mm. I don't believe that. You say, well, that's heresy. Well, say what it is. I just don't believe, because you know what? 99% of the times I did that, nothing happened. Once in a while they may get healed. But most of the time they didn't. Well, brother, it's just your faith. The problem's your faith. You just don't have enough faith. To me, that's such heresy. Put the poor guy down to have faith. Give me a break. No, what I've learned, because I know by his stripes I'm healed, I know that's a truth. Okay? And I know that he bore my iniquities, he bore my infirmity. I know these are true things. But I've learned on a particular individual, you don't mind me putting my hand on you, say, are you sick? Do you need healing? But I've learned to do this. Come, Holy Spirit. You speak. What are you saying? You show us how to pray. You remember the verse in Romans 8? We do not know how to pray as we ought. Do y'all remember that verse? But the Spirit prays. And that's humility. Pride is, oh man, I got Bible verses out of the reading. Let me just, I just go, look, Jesus, I don't know, diddly. All I know is you're the Lord and I'm not. And I'm just going to lay hands and say, come, Holy Spirit, show me what you want to do. Show me how to pray. And do you know a lot of times the reason the brother may be sick, not picking on you, is because there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness, there's sin, there's theft, there's dishonor, there's some sin, there's some stronghold. Hello? And they're just wrestling with the surface healing, and surface healing's fine, but this body's passing away. God's after the emotional healing and the spiritual healing, healing from the inside out. This is eternal. We want our body healed. Great. But God wants your heart healed. Because your heart's eternal. He's more concerned about your heart and your attitude than he is your body. It's passing away anyway. Can I have an amen? We get the first fruits of the Spirit. Praise God for divine healing. And I tell you what, I'm kicking sacred cows. I know I'm stepping all this stuff, but I believe it's the truth. Because I have seen more signs and wonders and phenomena of the supernatural since I've embraced this. It's humility. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Give you a perfect example. I'm sitting in a prayer meeting one time. A couple of us sitting around. This is how the gifts operate. People don't understand about these gifts of the Spirit. We're supposed to flow in the gifts every day. The gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be as operative as brushing your teeth. Sitting around in a circle and brother says, I have a headache. Would y'all pray for me? I said, okay. Then you think, somebody has a headache. Sure. Oh, Lord, just heal the headache. I said, well, let's pray. And I said, come, Lord, show us how to pray. I remember the brother thinking, well, I tell you how to pray. Just pray that it goes away. I said, no, Lord, come. Show us what you're saying. Come. So we waited and prayed in tongues for about 30 seconds. You know, it gets real long when you're doing this. 40 seconds. A minute. 2 minutes. 2.5 minutes. And finally, one of the sisters said, I keep hearing something going round and round in my mind. But really what? She says, I keep hearing the word unforgiveness, unforgiveness, unforgiveness. I turned to the brother and said, is there any unforgiveness? And his head went. He said, yeah. Well, are you willing to forgive the person?
Yeah.
And he prayed. And he prayed a little prayer. And Lord, forgive me for hanging on. I'll let him go. He looked up. You know what he did? He said, the headache's gone. That's called the gifts. The word of knowledge. Humility. God accomplished something. But the old way of praying is, well, brother, by his stripes you're healed. Stand on the word. We can stand on the word all day long. God's interested in his heart. That's so simple, so yet so profound, and cuts right to the heart of the deception of the age. Act on empowered words. Roma. Logos versus Rhema. I wrote here, key to all supernatural ministry. Yeah, you know what it is? Ask, wait, and respond to empowered words. Otherwise, you're often soulish with little general supernatural phenomena. And you end up blaming people that it's their fault I really believe the gifts of the Spirit, God wants to manifest the gifts. Remember those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment, amen? I think those should be a daily occurrence. Gifts are really momentary anointings. They come on and they lift off. They're momentary anointings from the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe our callings, there are resident things in our offices and ministries. Yes, but the gifts are momentary anointings. You know, they're an anointing. Come on, me. I mean, I see it like, you know, Clark Kent walking around, you know, bumping around, kind of got a thing for Lewis Lane, a little shy. And then he hears, and he goes in a telephone booth. Dun, 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 and he comes up stronger than a, well, how'd it go? Faster than a speeding bullet. And he can defeat the foe. And then he's back to bumbling Clark Kent. Well, that's how we should be every day. Just being ourselves, walking around, trying to follow Jesus, and once in a while, the anointing comes on you. The anointing. Ha! Oh, demon, come out! And then, back to, oh, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. It's really that simple. And guess who gets the glory then? Jesus. You can do the undoable. Take the unthinkable and believe the unbelievable when you learn to wait on the Spirit. They that wait. Remember that verse? Upon the Lord. Shall what? You know the Hebrew is exchange their strength. And you know what it means? It, for a moment, you ain't going to be operating in your strength. That's what it reads. They'll exchange their strength. All of a sudden, some supernatural strength. Who can? And then you're back to you. You're waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And it's humility away. Somebody sees you as the great healer, the great woman or man of God. Not when you move in the Holy Ghost. This is great. My wife and I had to confront someone. We have a bunch of young men live in our house, and some of them not so young. And we were ministering to one just as the night before I came here. Just Monday night, Tuesday night, Monday night. What is today? It's Sunday night. So my wife and I are sitting there, and I had been really bugged. This guy lives with us, but he's got a lot of problems, and he just kind of got a problem with a deal, and it's been driving me. And you know how husbands are, they dump on their wives. It's driving me nuts, man. Well, you need to go talk to him. Well, I will. And so finally the Lord worked it up where it came up, and I said, will you come with me, Sherry? So we're sitting there, and it's just bugging me about the situation. I knew it was demonic, but I didn't know how to get my hands on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm sitting there, and I just kind of let it out. Fortunately, I was gracious. And I got it out, and it was good. And I really was giving him strong discernment about a stronghold in his life. And it had to do with a lot of rebellion and stuff with his daddy, mom and daddy issues. Finally, Sherry looked at me. She looked at him. She says, Chris, the issue is not rebellion, it's rejection. She says, this man never knew the love of his mother and father. And she reached over to the minister and told him, and God came. I'm going, okay. So I went over there, and I was working with God, my wife, you know. Well, later on. Hello? Later on that night, my wife said, I said, boy, that was a pretty cool ministry, wasn't it? She turned to me, she said, wait, you left him with nothing. I mean, you were dumping all that stuff. And you know, it was obvious it was rejection. I said, Sherry, and this is one of those few times I said the right thing to my wife. Sherry, that's why the Lord sent two. Amen? Because sometimes one of us don't get it. Amen? Man, that was the perfect squelch, you know. What could you say? But it's true. Because I had my deal, and guess what? She had hers, and together, this captive was set free. We ended up blessing him. I spoke father blessings, she spoke mother blessings over him. Oh, it was cool. It was powerful. But you know, I realized right then, that's how the gifts work. The gifts ain't some, you're not some glory hog. You think you're something? God will just move through everybody else. Who cares? Jesus gets the glory. But however, inevitably, the enemy always enters in stage left. And here's the enemy come in. Where is he? He says, but, what does Peter say? What does Peter see? He sees the wind, and he got afraid. Now, I got a note here. You might write this down. Unless you're adept at SW, you can't really see SW. Unless you're adept at SW, you can't really see SW. You see, unless you're adept at spiritual warfare, you can't really see signs and wonders. You got to understand that there's always an enemy going to crash the party. He's out walking on the water. So you've got to be adept at spiritual warfare. You've got to be adept at where and how the enemy works.
And by the way, he's always the wind. When Jesus calmed the sea, remember, he didn't rebuke the waves and speak to the wind. What did he do? Anybody? But no, what did he rebuke? He rebuked the wind, and he spoke to the waves. It says, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, be still. You can command the waves to be still all day long. If you don't rebuke the wind, ain't nothing going to happen. And the wind in the Greek is the word spirit. People have soulish ministry, trying to do stuff for people I don't understand. And there's demonic stuff behind the scenes. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So the whole enemy's objective was to take his eyes off of Jesus. And I wrote here, we're all struggling with the sinking sensation of hard ones. And many are huddled in the boat of unbelief, skepticism, and fear, and were called to go out where Jesus is. You know, the thing is, what about the other guys? Man, they didn't even try. They didn't even take a note. I wrote here, we all get sinking sensation of the hard ones. You know, if I went to someone here like you, brother, and said, I got a headache, I mean, the natural thing is, headache, no big deal. Get it, brother, I got a headache. But I have said, brother, I have advanced cancer. It's all through my body, up and down, and I've only got a few hours to live. Will you pray for me? Now, let me ask you. Would you think there'd be any doubt at all in his mind, or would he prefer praying for the guy with the headache? Come on, be honest. Headache all day long. Brother, I'm just called to those hard cases. But you know, if you understand the principle I'm saying, an easy or a hard will make no difference. Because you realize, I have no more ability to heal a headache than cancer. I'll be honest with you, I don't really think the issue is faith. Stay with me here. Because if it had been faith, if that had been the issue, Jesus said, accept your faith, be like this watermelon, you cannot. No, except you have a cantaloupe of faith, you can say to this, no, except you have an apple of faith, a walnut of faith, a pecan of faith, a pea of faith. You know what he did? You know one of the smallest seeds out there? Come here, guys, come here. See this thing? See this thing? What? You say to this mountain being one. What was Jesus saying? Open your spiritual ears. What was he saying? That's not the issue. You know what the issue is? Humility. Brokenness. Humility. That's where the faith movement. There's even one of the leading faith men who, I won't say, but I think he's a heretic, has a book called Faith in Your Faith. I've seen it. Folks, it ain't faith. It's humility. Problem is, we have so much self-sufficiency. We're so full of ourselves. I see one guy that was ready to move mountains. You know that? It was Isaiah in chapter 6. There's a picture of humility. He saw the Lord. And when he got a glimpse of the Lord, he says, woe is me. And woe is we. And he just freaked out. And he wanted to die. And God said, ooh, he's ready. Can that amount? And he said, who shall I go? Okay, Isaiah's ready. Now he sees it's not him or his faith, it's me! It's me! Back there in Mark 11, all the word faith people love to preach, you shall say to this mountain, you know the verse, have the faith of God. You know what the literal rendering is? It's not have faith in God, it's have the faith of God. The literal rendering is not have faith in God, it's have the faith of God. Now how in the world do you have the faith of God? Guess how? You ready? The gift of faith! That's it. One of the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's called the gift of faith. How can you have the faith of God, but it's an anointing that comes on you? And that's what that, you shall say to this mountain, cast and see. You can't did that doubt in your heart. How do you do that? I will not doubt. I will not doubt. There. I went for a second not doubting. I'm doubting. I'm doubting if I doubted. Did I doubt? Oh, give me a break. The only way it can happen is an anointing comes on you. Wow. Where am I? Go, mountain. And it lifts. Where was I? That's it. Are y'all with me tonight? This is truth, folks. I have literally seen with my own eyes phenomena that's unbelievable. I mean, just see things, just see, you know, big old growths disappear while you're watching. Woo! Woo! It's gone! I saw this guy had skin, this skin flaking red. While I watched, it completely disappeared. You know why? Because he'd been in a mason, or his father had been in a mason. We broke the Masonic curse. And he renounced masonry, and I'm telling you, he just disappeared in front of my eyes. That's cool stuff. And a lot, yeah, some of y'all probably know what I'm talking about. But you know what I've learned? If you just understand that it's all about humility and brokenness. Let's draw this to a close here. I wrote here in my notes, We're called to go out where Jesus is. Once you learn how to operate in the supernatural, which is zero self-sufficiency and waiting on the empowered word, then you'll have increasing boldness and expectation in healing the sick, infirmities, and the crippled and the demonized. Because you suddenly realize it's not me. And if a cancer-riddled person or demonized person or someone with a minor, whatever, God, you're going to have to come with a word. Now, I will grant this. I will say, the more you pray for the sick, the more you're able to hear that word. It's hard to really come adept to the gifts of the Spirit sitting in front of the boob tube clicking channels. Lord, give me more of the Spirit. Lord, I want to move in power and wonders. What's that channel? Lord Jesus, I want to be a man of signs and wonders. Folks, the television is our greatest enemy. I got that thing out of my house. We don't have it. We have a box we keep in the closet. They pull it out. They want to run a DVD. We check it. We do not run that demon box. We did run it on 9/11. We saw the towers fall, God forbid. And I told my wife, we will always run when we start a war. So when we started the Iraq war, we pulled the TV out. We watched it for one night. I'll say, okay, we've started the war, and I put the TV back in the... You say, you're a radical. Yeah, I just want to move in the Spirit. And I know if that demon box, that sewer pipe, is coming in my mind, yeah. I'm not going to have any... Sorry, forgive me, Mark 8:27. I was going to be real nice tonight, but you know, I just wanted to speak the truth that sets us free, man. We don't have much time. Y'all had our RFIDs? You know what RFIDs are? Search it out. It's the beginning of the end. Y'all know what RFIDs are? Radio frequency IDs? They're going to be in all your local Walmarts in the next couple of years. You just mark my words. Search it out. We don't have much time. It's all tied into the end times. All the forces are coming together. Geopolitically, Israel, even down to your local Walmart, you can see the what I believe is the beginnings of the ultimate mark of the beast. It's all coming together, folks, where you can't buy or sell without a number. Check it out. Just search these things out. We don't have much time. Oh, when I mean that, I think at least 10 or 15 years, I believe. But that ain't much time. Amen? Maybe 20. Mark 8:27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked the disciples, that whom do men say that I am? He said, John the Baptist. And some said Elijah. And others said, one of the prophets. He said, but whom do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Now, here's Peter. And he charged them they shouldn't tell anybody. Now, you know, in the Matthew version of this is about the part where he told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys. Remember? And Jesus began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In other words, guys, this is not going to go on. The party's fixing to end. I'm fixing to die. And we're going to go to Jerusalem and have a rough time. And he spake this saying openly, and Peter took him, I love this verse, and began to rebuke him. Did I read that right? We're talking God here, whom he just said, you're the Christ. He just acknowledged he's rebuking him. And when he turned about, he looked at the disciple, but he rebuked Peter. You know, you rebuke God, you're going to get rebuked back. He said, you get behind me, Satan. You're saving not the things of God, but the things of men. You know, I would submit there's still lots of junk in Peter. Can you hear amen? Do you see it? Do you discern it? Just because you were walking on water yesterday, doesn't mean you're not going to be a presumptuous whatever today. Pride, control, anger, self-righteousness was still chock full in Peter. Look at Mark 14, verse 66. A couple more places. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, this is while Jesus was being taken to trial, Mark 14, 66, there came one of the maids of the high priest, and we saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him, and she said, you were with Jesus of Nazareth, but he denied. He said, I know not, neither do I understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, look, he's one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, They that stood by said to Peter, surely you're one of them, for you're Galilean. Your speech, you got that Galilean accent. And he began to curse and swear. I don't know this man of whom you speak. Well, that's ridiculous, because everybody in Jerusalem knew it. But except Peter. I don't know what, I don't know anything about this big trial we're out here waiting on. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. Nobody nothing. I'm just standing here getting warm by the fire because I'm cold. That's all I know. I know nothing. Leave me alone. That's where he was. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word of the Lord. For the cock crowed twice or denied me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, folks, the key here, I want you to see, the scripture teaches us how to move in signs and wonders. Peter had to come to the place where he knew there was nothing of value in himself. He had to look in the mirror and see who he really was. He just kidding himself. Rebuke God. See, as long as Peter was strong, he was limited in supernatural ability. But as Peter became weak and realizing his potential, oh my God. Remember the night before? Hey, no way! You're good. Somebody, he says, though all may forsake thee, not me. I mean, he said this in front of the other guys. Not me! They might! And the Lord says, Peter, and you know what happened later on. He had to publicly three times reaffirm that he loved the Lord. The Lord said, you're going to be a leader. It's going to have to come back out in the light that you blew it three times. We've got to bring this out. How would you like your worst sin to be recorded in the gospel? Poor Peter, even Galatians, you know, talks about how he threw that in there too. Folks, you got to go through the valley before you get to the table. See, so many people are content with the green grass and the nice water and the shepherd over there standing with his staff. Oh, this is lovely. Just chewing on the grass, rubbing up against each other. This nice little pastoral scene. Most Christians like that side. But you know, at some point, the Lord begins to woo us into this scary place, this valley of the shadow of death. Ah, I like the grass. I like the water and the shepherd. Give me all. Come on. You know, if you ever notice in that psalm, the tense shifts. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He, it's all third person. But in the valley of the shadow of death, holy forest, you are with me. You guide me. Have you ever seen that? It shifts from third person to intimacy. You know what I think the valley of the shadow of death is? I would submit this for your consideration. I think it's when you finally really see yourself in the context of others. Most people spend most of their life avoiding anybody that reminds them of themselves. And you say, well, who's that? It's whoever you judge. Because the reason you're judging them is because there's something in them that bugs you. And why is it bugging you? Because there's something in you that's not resolved. And you don't want to look at it, so you certainly don't want to look at it in them. And they need to get it fixed. I really believe the body of Christ is a hall of mirrors. You walk in the assembly, it's just mirrors. Hello? This mirror's nice and that... Ooh. That's because that person has in their life the same thing you got in yours. And you judge it. And judge not, lest you be judged. With whatever measure you meet out, it's going to come back on you. And who are you to go pull out the two by four, the splinter, when you got a two by four, the Lord said. I really believe that's the valley of the shadow of death. We're all scared to death. I know people, I've been in Christian community for 30 years. People spend decades avoiding people. They give out on marriages. They move to other cities. I have some people involved in my ministry for over a dozen years recently. And I was talking to somebody here today about it. And they just up and left. And they left because they just couldn't handle it because God's calling ants in their pants. Had to leave. The truth was, it was mommy and daddy issues. He never could really let it go with his dad. And he's convinced if he gets out from under my ministry and under Christians, and everything's going to be wonderful and roses. And I hope it is. And I pray for him. But guess what? I know reality. You can run, but you cannot hide. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I just need another husband. I just need another wife. Another job. Another city. Another church. Another pastor. You know, for a while, everything's fine. Green grass. Still water. And then at some point, the Holy Ghost says, aren't you bored? Aren't you dried up? Temple life. Because let me tell you something. If you can ever get to that valley, the other side smokes. A table set in the presence of my enemy. Whoa! Yes! I mean, the backside of Psalm 23 just has golden glow on it. My cup runs over, oil. I'm smacking in the face of the devil. Yeah. Look, I'm not eating grass no more. Get in there. But you know, the vast majority of Christians, they just don't want to make it through that tunnel. Acts 3, verse 1. Two more places. Let's look at Peter now. He went through his worst night of his life. Without a doubt, was when he denied Jesus. You know, that movie, The Passion, really showed that. I think Jesus and Nazareth, that movie, showed it too, in a significant way. Can you imagine the horror? The horror that you betrayed him. And for 3 days, he was left with that notion. Oh, my God! What a absolute... I cannot... He was finally realizing, I can. I do believe that I have that with him. You know, it's scary when I hear somebody say, I can't believe they did that. I always go, whoa. Holy Ghost is going to have to teach you. You got the same potential as me. I recently had a woman come to our church, and she'd had an affair about 7 or 8 years ago. We went on for 2 years, and she came to the church. She and her husband were Baptists. And she wanted ministry because she's just been sick and tormented, you know. And finally, another lady, we were talking to her. I said, well, you need to share with your husband. Sorry. And they just come to the light. Well, she was willing to do it after about 7 years of hiding it. So she said, well, can I share it with him with you there? I said, oh, I'm not looking forward to that meeting. I said, well, okay, if you need to. I had my wife there with me, you know. Well, it turned out, she didn't wait. That night, well, she went and shared it with him. So they still met with me a few nights later. And they came in, and he sat on the end of the couch like this. And she was sitting there real broken. And the Lord really came. But you know what? Bless his heart. The man, his attitude was, I can't believe she did this. I just can't believe. And it was this thing of, it was just beyond him that someone could do that. And I looked at him and I said, brother, can I pray for you? Because he needs to understand, as grievous as that sin was, it's the grace of God he didn't do the same thing. Can I hear any men? When you really understand it's purely grace and mercy, then you begin to move in some power. Unfortunately, after a good time of ministry, that brother did let me pray for him. And he is beginning to come into that understanding. And you know what comes out of that understanding? Compassion for his wife. And God's beginning to bring healing. So God wants to break that pride in us. And that's what he was doing in Peter. I think Peter was a powerful personality. I think he was very strong in himself. He was a leader. And Jesus saw so much potential. He says, but he's going to have to be hit by lots of 2x4s and be broken down at nothing. Except you fall on the rock and be broken. So finally, after that encounter, man, I mean, Peter, whoa, that did it. That was the utter. And if you know the beautiful story, I don't have time to go, but when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to Mary Magdalene, he says, go and tell my brothers and Peter. He pulled his name out of the hat. Don't forget to tell Peter. And I'm sure that came back to, he had a special word for you. Oh, Peter went, oh, that was like oil in his soul. Can you hear me? So, Acts 3, here we are. Let's look where he is now. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Now, would you say that's a hard one? Lame from his mother's womb? Then they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered therein. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. You know what he's saying? I want you to understand what's really going on here with Peter. Peter is saying, I've come to the conclusion that there's nothing in me can help you. I ain't got it. When he said silver and gold, in other words, I don't have nothing. of me to help me. He says, but such as I have, give I thee. I only got one thing. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know what? I believe the Holy Ghost spoke to Peter. Because they'd walked in front of that guy, what? Many, many times. But he heard that rhema word. You know, he had learned, remember he pulled his note, he probably pulled that note out so many times out of his wallet, it was worn out. He finally had it in his brain. That's right. Rhema word, living word. And this time, because, you know, every time they walked by, the guy asked for alms. But this time, he looked and he heard the word. Whoa, I know that voice. Okay. I tell you, that's the secret. To learn to respond to that voice of the Holy Spirit. My desire is, you know, to be at the Eckerd Drugs, the Walgreens, the Walmart, standing in the aisle. You know, somebody's standing there. And, you know, you're just doing your thing, buying something, and the Holy Ghost speaks to you about that person. You look over there, and you hear the voice. How many times that ever happened to you? You know what? Raise your hands. I believe it's happened to all of us. You know what? I just don't think you heard. Are you hearing me? I believe if you're spirit-filled, you've been out there in the world, and the Holy Ghost has talked to you about people around you. But you know the problem is? We don't hear. Our mind is filled with all kinds of things. We're thinking we have to be strong, or we're sitting there lusting after something, or we're sitting there all fearful and anxious about many things. Hello? I believe the Holy Ghost has always went out in the world, in the heart of the Lord, trying to reach out to people. If we just dial down. As one brother said, whenever he goes in the store, he says one thing. You know, two words when he goes in the store. He always says, I'm available. I'm available. Amen? And then you go in, may not be nothing. But sometimes you go in, and all of a sudden, you sense the Holy Spirit opening. And I'm telling you, that's what you see in the book of Acts, is signs, supernatural ministry. You know, this story of Peter here in Acts 3 is a long way from holding the boat still. And then, he's not holding the boat still no more. See, God leads us, folks, progressively into greater, greater acts of signs and wonders. The last place, Acts 4:13, verse 13. So, of course, the religious leaders drag him out and start rebuking him for doing this, preaching this name of Jesus, doing this miracle. In Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. You know, folks, that was graduation day for Peter. Amen, amen. He was unlearned and ignorant and free to be that. Not out there, I'm a fisherman from Lake Gennesaret. I got boats. No. Just an unlearned, uncouth hick with an accent. That's what he was. But he did with Jesus. And there was power. So how many of y'all would like the Lord to turn your sinking sand into a rock? Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you said you resist the proud and you give grace to the humble. And you said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Come and learn of me. Lord Jesus, we want to see the real thing. Quit playing games and religious and getting free from the formulas and moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. You're like the wind you blow. We can't put you in a box. You're not a formula. We just got to learn to listen to that word and then obey the word. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would convict every saint here right now that doesn't spend time with you every day. Come, Holy Spirit, bring a conviction, not a condemnation, just a conviction to lock that into their schedule. Time with Jesus, to worship in the Spirit. You seek those that will praise you and worship you in spirit. Come with conviction, Lord, that would be the most important part of the day, to start the day gathering the manna, relishing in the mercies of the new, being available, reporting for duty. Come, Holy Spirit, bring the conviction. Let it be real. Let people take that away as something tangible from this conference. Lord, I pray you convict all of us, Father, in our disobedient ways. Lord, where we're not obeying the voice of the Spirit in the little things, making it right, humbling ourselves, being extravagantly honest, going the extra mile, standing up for what's right even if we get rejected. Lord, forgive us for not obeying you in the little things that you convict us of day to day. Because as we obey your voice and faithful in the little things, then you, we will be faithful in the mighty. Oh, Lord, teach us, Lord, to love you and prove it by faith and by works of obedience, Lord, that you be pleased for you to love me. You keep my commandments. Lord, I pray in your mercy you would teach us the truth of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, that we're just a little children. Father, in the truths of the things of the Spirit are such as a child can understand. All we know is, Lord, we need to hear your voice. We pray that you would bid us to come out on the water. You would bid us. You would speak empowered words in our life. Lord, you would challenge us and meet us where we are and speak words of power. That you would help us to know the voice. Oh, Lord, the voice of Jesus. Not the voice of a stranger, but the voice of Jesus. That we would become so comfortable with that voice. We would know and love and respond quickly. Oh, Lord, like a sheep to a shepherd. Come, Holy Spirit. Folks, if you agree with my prayer, just agree. As I pray, just say, yeah, yeah, that's, I want that. Amen. Amen me. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Do it. Do it. Lord, we want to see signs and wonders. Lord, there's some people out there, they're not going to ever get saved because of their hardness of heart, unless it's demonstration of power. Paul said, I came not with intelligence, but with signs and demonstration of your power. Lord, supernatural power, Lord. Supernatural healing, power of evangelism. Do it, Lord. You want to use the weakest and the meekest among us in supernatural ways. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes to the heresies of the day. Lord, we would not run after big men and big money just because they appear on big TV programs and big shows. But Lord, we'll recognize you always manifest in a manger. You always like to show up in that. You're a God that hides yourself. You're a God that likes to come up behind us and surprise us with the meek and lowly. Lord, forgive us for being caught in the swept away with the deception of the age, Father. Open our eyes to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing that we can love our neighbor and minister to the one next to us on a day-to-day basis. Help us to be faithful with this in our hand, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Let truth come tonight. Truth all the way down to our bones. I take a deep breath. Come, Lord. Just bring deliverance from all the lies and deception and the cobwebs. Make us wise as serpents, armies. Fill us with the release the gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. We would move in the empowerment of the Spirit, Lord. And recognize when the Spirit is upon us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In the Greek means empowers us. And when we're weak, that's when we're strong. For His grace is made perfect in weakness. Teach us the way of the Spirit, Lord. As we're broken, Lord, as you break us, then you can divide us.
Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Open our eyes to see your face. Open our eyes to see your face. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see your face. Jesus is Lord and King of all. Jesus Jesus is Lord and King of all. Jesus is Lord and King. Jesus is Lord and King. Jesus is Lord and King of all. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia.
Father, I thank you tonight, and I pray in your mercy you would seal by the power of the Holy Ghost every rhema word that was quickened to our spirit tonight, every word of life, every truth that was engraved in our heart. Lord, just seal it, that the words of the air would not pluck the truth that God has placed. And we bind back the powers of darkness from everyone. Lord, we ask you to just put a bunch of angels around each of us now as we go our way and go to sleep. We pray, Lord, as we sleep, Lord, you would speak to us in our very dreams. Lord, you would come and confirm. You would affirm and confirm this word in many witnesses in our lives. And everybody say, amen, amen. God bless you. Praise God. God's peace.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.